Good word for you. Everybody's just kind of chill today, but Leah said everybody's chill but engaged, and that's okay with me, so just don't fall asleep, and you can be chill all you want to. That's fine. Would you stand to your feet, though? And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Or if you don't like the way I pronounce it, you could say Habakkuk. Habakkuk is actually the proper, I guess, but it's in the Old Testament. If you find the book of Psalms and just move, keep on to your right, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I memorized a song to learn all the books of the Bible, and it still goes through my mind when I'm trying to find various books. Only three chapters, and I'm going to read a couple selected verses here. So just open to chapter 1, Habakkuk chapter 1. And I'm gonna hop around a little bit, but I'm going to pretty much give you my outline for the message that I'm bringing this morning. Look at verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Everybody say burden. Now jump down to verse 5. This is the Lord. He's speaking, and he says, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you." Now, jump over to chapter 2 in verse 1. Chapter 2 in verse 1, it says, this is Habakkuk again speaking. He says, "I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart or the watchpost and watch and see what he, the Lord, will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." Look at verse 2, familiar passage. "The Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end of it will but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Jump down to verse 14. This is the verse that inspired this message to begin with. "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Let's pray and let's ask the Lord's hand on this time together. Mighty God, we just thank you. I just thank you. We're rejoicing today. We've come through a great week. We rejoice in your blood. We rejoice in your effective work. We thank you for the time we've had to worship together. And Lord, now I ask that you would speak through your word. Encourage us, strengthen us. Give us your vision and your heart, Lord. Speak by your Holy Spirit what you desire to move and minister in each and every one of our lives. Oh Lord, I just ask you, anoint me to bring what you desire to today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. You may be seated. You know, my wife and I, what we like to do is at least a few times a week, we like to go and watch the sunset. You guys all ought to go watch the sunset. You don't realize maybe until you go live in the Midwest or somewhere just terrible like that. You just what we are blessed to have right in our own backyard. You ought to walk down to the beach sometime and watch the way the sun comes down. You might have seen, I posted yesterday on social media this picture. The sun had just gone down, and I'm telling you guys, the way that the water, you just have to go look at the picture. That picture doesn't have a filter on it or anything. Many of you maybe saw the sky was just, I mean, radiant. The water turned purple. It was the most crazy thing I've ever seen. And just if you've ever doubted Creator God, watch a sunset sometime. I mean, just admire the creation that is all around us. But as I was looking, in fact, I think that was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago that my wife and I just snapped that picture, and she did as well. And we were watching, and that verse out of Habakkuk chapter 2, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God's glory as the waters cover the sea." I've been contemplating that for weeks now, and just waiting for the opportunity to be able to preach what I'm going to preach this morning. And so, but let me tell you a little bit about Habakkuk. Do you know anything about Habakkuk? Anybody? Okay, good. And then, so I'll teach you. Habakkuk, everybody say Habakkuk. You got it? It's just a fun name. Anybody who's pregnant and you're looking for baby names, add this to the list. It'll be a great one. And Habakkuk. But most scholars put Habakkuk, they believe that he was a Levite. He was Levites in the scripture. They were the servants of the house of God. Primarily, most of them were musicians in the house of God. And most believe that he was ministering in the time just before Babylon came in and took most of the nation captive. There were actually some thoughts, some believe that even when Daniel was in the lion's den, that Habakkuk was one of those who came and ministered to Daniel over the course of that period of time. Now I told my wife, it was like almost midnight, and I was getting so excited over my message, and she's like, I'm going to have to hear it twice tomorrow, and so she didn't let me tell her what I wanted, but this is it, Leah. I told her, I'm going to tell you tomorrow, and I'm going to tell you the part that I, Habakkuk. Now, this was so interesting. This is Jewish tradition, but what most Jewish rabbis believe was that Habakkuk, do you guys remember in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, there was a story about Elisha. You guys know who Elisha was, right? He came and there was a woman from Shunem. They call her the Shunammite woman. And she created a place for Elijah. She saw the man of God would come by very often as he was traveling and he was ministering. And so she decided to build a room for Elisha. You guys remember this? I mean, it'll just tell you, make room for God. Make a room for God. Because what ends up happening is he ends up staying there. And as he is being served, you know, they give him a meal, they give him a bed and all this. They literally open a bed and breakfast for Elisha. And so he gets up in the morning and he prophesies over the woman that about a year from now, you're going to have a son. You guys remember this story? And so she has a son, and sometime later, one of the neatest stories, I could preach on this, but I won't this morning. But sometime later, she sure does. She has that child, and sometime later, I think he's just a couple years old, the Bible says that he was out in the field, and he says, my head, my head. It's hilarious how the Bible details this. Most people think he had a stroke or some aneurysm, something like that. And what happens is he ends up dying. And so this Shunammite woman, this grieving mother, takes her now dead son up into that upper room and lays him on Elisha's bed. And she goes to get Elisha. She's going to have words with this prophet. So she goes, very upset, and Elisha sees her coming and sends his servant. And she's pretty much like, buzz off, I don't want to talk to you. I'm here to talk to the man of God. And so totally blows off the Gehazi, which, you know, he doesn't deserve talking to anyway. But anyway, that's a different story too. But what happens is she ends up going and pleading the case. Why would you even prophesy this? Why would God give me a son and just take him? He's just died. And what he does is he goes, and really neat story. Elisha ends up going in and seeing that young boy raised from the dead. Now, most scholars believe that that young boy, the son of the Shunammite woman, was Habakkuk. Isn't that wild? And so this is that just brought a whole new perspective to this thing. It's just like, wow. So this is a prophet of promise. I mean, absolutely incredible. And so here he is. You know what's going on with Habakkuk? He is looking around, and you can read. I'm not going to detail all of this, but he is grieving over what's going on in his nation, in the world. I mean, he's looking around and he's so distraught over wickedness that's prevailing and injustice, and he feels like God is not moving. He feels like the legal systems that are in place are doing absolutely nothing. And he's crying out to the Lord. How many of you have ever looked at the world and said, God, there are some things that just seem out of order? And maybe you get upset with God. God, or you get upset with police or president or whatever it might be, and just like, God, how can things be so off? That's exactly what was going on with Habakkuk. And it builds up, and the Lord ends up giving this awesome word. And I'll just tell you exactly what it means. He says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God's glory. That word knowledge, it's really cool. It's not just I know about something now, but when it says the knowledge, the Hebrew word there actually means to experience something. It's not just I know that God is glorious. I know that he's wonderful, but it is actually experiencing God in his fullness. In fact, when it says that they will be filled, it literally means to be filled to overflowing, actually receiving God in his glory, a firsthand experience to the point that it affects everything in and around you. People look at you and they see the glory of God. That word glory, it literally means splendor or honor. And many of you have heard in the Hebrew that original word, kabod, it literally means weight of presence. It's literally this picture of God being so incredible, so beautiful, so powerful, so overwhelming. All you can do is fall to your face in awe of who God is. I was reading in Steve Hill's study Bible. It's called the Revival Study Bible. And the way that it puts this verse right here, it says, the earth will be filled to overflowing, saturating God's people with an intimate knowledge of God's glory through close observation and the firsthand experience of the attributes and perfection of God's love, his holiness, and his power. Do I need to read that again? Let me read it again for you. The earth will be filled to overflowing, saturating God's people with an intimate knowledge of God's glory. How? Through close observation, firsthand experience, and the attributes and perfection of God's love, his holiness, and power. How many of you, church, I just got to know, how many of you desire to see God's glory on display in the earth, not through words and not just through knowledge, but through firsthand experiences and encounters with the overwhelming, glorious, beautiful, weighty presence of God? Oh, I desire it more than anything, church. And I believe that it begins right here with us. I believe it begins in our hearts when we say, Lord, I desire that. Would you fill me to overflowing? Because it's going to overflow from our lives into the world. In fact, that word, it seems crazy. Have you ever thought about that phrase? As the waters cover the sea. That doesn't really make sense, does it? As the waters... Think about it. You ever think about Scripture? It's good to think about Scripture and what you read. As the waters cover the sea. Some people have broken it down to say the sea beds, as the water fill the sea beds. Some people just simply say it's the fact that the waters are covering the earth, and that's how some scholars have broken it down. But either way, you can look at our planet, or you can look at the amount of water, and that's how glorious God desires to be upon the earth. And so I've got three things that the Lord, in fact, there's three postures that Habakkuk took. And I love what he says. Look, watch, be astounded. I will work in your days, which you would not believe, even though he's pretty much saying, I'm telling you what's going to happen, Habakkuk, and you're not going to believe it until you see it. And I believe that that's how the Lord desires to move in this day. There's a revival. There is an awakening that's coming. And you got to see it to believe it. Who would have thought that God could use somebody like Kanye West? You got to see it to believe it. You got to see it to believe it. How in the world is that going to happen? I mean, you look at what's going on. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And God's going to do some things in this day and age. You're not going to believe it until you see it. And so let's talk about the way Habakkuk postured himself. In chapter 1, you'll see that he was instructed to watch. Everybody say watch. In chapter 2, you'll see that he was told to stand. Everybody say stand. And in chapter 3, we'll see that he takes the posture of kneeling. Everybody say kneel. Now, I'm gonna explain, because there's a posture and there's something that it produced. And so you'll see the posture and you'll see what it actually produced. And so first thing, you see in chapter 1, the book begins. And the first thing we must watch. Habakkuk is having some honest conversation with God. There's violence in the streets. We pray, God, you're not doing anything. The law isn't enough. The police aren't enough. Wickedness is abounding. And the Lord begins to speak to Habakkuk. He says, watch. Everybody say, watch. He says that in verse 5, look among the nations and watch. I am going to do something that you will not believe. You see, there's a lot of things that I believe, but I don't know if I really believe it. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? It's like, I believe that God can raise the dead, but I've never seen it. That's one of those things. I'll pray for the dead to be raised, and I have on a couple occasions. But that's one of those things, I probably won't believe it until I see it. Anybody with me on that? I mean, if you got faith for it, then praise God, you can pray for me. I believe that there's a move of God that could happen so powerfully that it would change a nation, but I haven't seen it. I've read about it in history books. I've read about what happened even here in these islands in the early 1800s. I logically know that God could do it, but what that would actually look like in this day and age, I it's hard for me to believe it until I see it. I believe, you know, there's a lot of things. I believe that God could give me a house in Hawaii, but I don't really believe it, if I'm honest with you. I mean, I need God. It's like that man who prayed for his child, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, one of the things that I just encourage you in, be honest with God. Be honest with God. I feel like sometimes we make these faith declarations, and we feel like we're going to disappoint God, as if he doesn't know that we already have unbelief in us. He knows. Be honest with him about it. It's like, God, I believe that you can do. I believe that you're a provider. I just struggle if you could really do that for me. And it's okay. God's not going to smite you. In fact, you'll see Habakkuk is having honest conversation with God. And God says, just watch, Habakkuk. Watch what I can do. You see, the prophet, he saw problems, but God was saying, I need you to see this from my perspective. And this is what I want to challenge you guys. I there's a couple levels you could take this on. You know, of course, I'm contending for revival. I'm contending for a great move of God. I believe that we could have the strongest church in West Maui. And I want to have a church that impacts 1,000 people a week. And I mean, you can look at all these things. I mean, that's a desire of my heart. But you can even look and there's things that you're passionate about in the community, things that you're passionate about with your family, things that you're passionate about with your career, or maybe injustices that you see around us. And what the Lord does is he begins to speak to the prophet. Interesting. He speaks, and Habakkuk is writing down what he received from the Lord. Now, what I find is interesting is Habakkuk is a prophet. Everybody say prophet. But what he receives from the Lord, he doesn't call it a prophecy. He doesn't call it a word from the Lord. In fact, look again at verse 1 of chapter 1. You see what he calls it? He said, the burden. Everybody say burden. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Church, I am convinced we will never see a move of God until we get a burden. We will, not just a vision, not just an idea, but a real burden. I don't know if we'll ever accomplish anything of significance for the Lord until we get a burden for it. In fact, you'll notice that one of the things that Jesus did is he was preparing to go to the cross. You'll remember he was praying And he was having this moment. He's really preparing himself. And the Bible talks about this anguish that he was moved into. And the Gospel of Luke is a very fascinating passage. He talks to two of the disciples. And he says, these guys come to him and they say, Jesus, would we be allowed to sit on your right and your left hand when we get into the kingdom of God? You remember they drug their mommy along. Mommy, will you help us ask? I mean, just kind of lame if you ask me. If you need your mommy to come and ask questions for you, you're asking the wrong questions. I'm just telling you. There's a bonus point for you. So anyway, they drag mommy along, and mom asks them, hey, would you let my boys sit on your right and left-hand side? And Jesus, this is what Jesus says. He kind of tricks them into this thing. Jesus responds, let me ask you a question first. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? And they respond, yes, Lord, we're able. And then he says, you will be baptized with this baptism, but it's not even my choice who's going to sit on my right and left-hand side. So he gets them to confess and receive this baptism and yet denies them the seat so far as we know. In fact, we do know later on that there are 12 thrones that are established. I feel like I haven't preached in a long time. It's probably because I didn't get it all out on Thursday, and so I got all this extra coming out. I'm sorry if it's too much. But here's what do you know what that baptism was? It was literally a baptism of anguish. It's what Jesus received when he moved into the garden. Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it. Yet not my will, but yours be done. You know what was happening as Jesus was being shown the filth and the sin of all the world. What it was that he was going to have to bear when he moved upon the cross. And you'll notice that before God ever uses anybody in any significant way, one of the very first things that he'll do is he'll give them a burden. He says, I want you to see things from my perspective. You can be stirred and you can have passions about certain different things, but until you get my heart, my perspective, and my burden on things, you'll never do anything that transforms. You'll never do anything that changes the world. And so that's what he did with his disciples. And I remember hearing about Bill Bright. Do you guys know who Bill Bright is? Bill Bright was he filmed a movie called The Jesus Film, which, I mean, millions have come to Christ watching, but he started a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. And you ought to have heard about this. It's actually the largest Christian ministry on the planet. You heard me right. There's 26,000 staff members, 225,000 volunteers in 191 countries. In fact, the way that I really became familiar with this is my wife and I got asked to go to a meeting. Now, Bill Bright's gone to be with the Lord in 2003, but the ministry has still continued and it's even increased. And they had these pastors and leaders from all around the world. And their vision, listen to what I'm about to say, their vision is to finish the Great Commission by 2033. Not do the Great Commission, not release people into the Great Commission. Their assignment, their mission is to finish the Great Commission by 2033. Everybody in the world having the Bible in their language, having a church in their city, having the gospel preached to them, nobody who has not heard on the planet by 2033. And the thing is, these guys are the kind of people that could actually do it. I was sitting in that room. I was only there because Dr. Morocco and they asked us, Minister Rylin. I mean, we're all sitting in there and like, I mean, these guys are getting up. Yeah, my church is 3 million over here and we've started 500,000 churches. I mean, these are the kinds of people that were sitting in that room. And if there's anybody who's going to finish the Great Commission, it was this group of people. That ministry was started by this man of God, Bill Bright. And I was studying this, and Billy Graham, the great evangelist Billy Graham, said Bill Bright carried a burden on his heart as few men as I've ever known, a burden for the evangelization of the world. Everybody say burden. It's a big deal when the great evangelist Billy Graham says, this man has a burden for souls. This man has a burden. Well, what was interesting about Bill Bright is I remember my spiritual father, Steve Hill, was at his bedside as he was getting ready to pass into eternity. And he said hours before he went to join this heavenly host as he went to receive his eternal reward, he said Bill Bright had papers scattered all over his bed and on the bedside table. And at one point literally tried to get out of bed because there were things that needed to be done. And he said, this is what he said. He tries to get out of bed and he says, we need to start 10,000 more churches. And Steve, that's a burden right there. My spiritual father, my mentor, he, Bill, lay down. He says, leave that to us. Leave that to us. We'll take it from here. I get so stirred by this church. This is a man with a burden. And if we're going to do anything for the Lord, as Habakkuk did, he stood, he watched, and the Lord gave him a burden. And so this is what I want you. I'm giving you the full point at the end. We're going to watch and we're going to receive a burden. We're going to watch and we're going to receive a burden. Have you got it? Here's the second thing. There's only three. Second thing, we're going to stand. We're going to stand. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, I will climb into my watchtower and I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait and see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So he's made his need known. And this is what he says, I will stand and I'm going to wait to see how the Lord responds. He's going to hold his ground. He's not going to give up. He's going to stay the course. He's going to continue. In fact, the fact that he goes up on the watchtower tells you he had assignments on his life. And this is what I want to encourage. If you're contending, God, I want to see an answer. I'm believing for things for my family, for my future, for my church, for my career. Lord, what am I supposed to do? When you wait on the Lord, make sure you continue to serve actively in whatever it is that the Lord's instructed you. So literally, he's like, I'm going to continue to be faithful in the assignment that you put on my life until you give me marching orders. You see, this is where we get in trouble. Because you look and he's watching. Now he sees God's perspective and the Lord puts a burden on his heart. And then he's to wait. We don't like to wait, do we? Anybody, you ever talk to somebody who's gone to Disneyland? And their favorite part, I like the rides. Oh, yeah, we went and saw this show. Oh, I love the funnel cakes or the turkey leg, right? And have you ever heard anybody say, my favorite part of Disneyland is waiting in the lines? You've never heard that. But, you know, waiting is hard, especially when you have a burden for something. I got to do something about this. I got to fix something. Let's have a meeting. But God has Habakkuk wait. And there's a purpose in waiting. It produces something on the inside of us. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not grow faint. I know sometimes we get in this mode. It's like I've got a burden. I've got a passion to do something. And we're chomping at the bit. We're ready to bust out the gate and we're ready to go and take some land and do something for the Lord. But if we would learn to be obedient to God's timing, when he releases us to move forward, you will run and you're not going to faint. You're going to mount up on wings like eagles. I'm telling you, you're going to fly, man. And that's how I want to be. I've watched people who press forward into something in their own strength. And it crashes and it burns. But if we wait on the Lord, Look at Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. In due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. And so we need to not give up. I've got a lot of examples. I mean, we could talk about Michael Jordan and how he got kicked off of his basketball team in high school. Not good enough, but of course went on to be the greatest basketball player of all time. That's mostly undisputed, I think. We can argue about it later if you want. But you can look at, there was a young man I read about, and he got fired from his newspaper job because of his lack of creativity. He started an animation company that went bankrupt and several other companies that went out of business before he started his own company, the Walt Disney Company. You guys have heard some of these things, the Beatles being rejected by studio after studio after studio because guitar music is going out of style. That's what one studio told them. I mean, just ridiculous. Or to get on a more spiritual level, how many thousands of people Todd White prayed for before anybody got healed? You can hear his testimony. Or I loved one of the most encouraging things I ever heard in my life. My wife and I had just done our first arena crusade in Dallas, Texas. And there were a few thousand people that showed up. And, you know, there were I don't know how many. I think there were 8,000 seats in the whole thing. And I think we had a total throughout the whole day, about 3,000 that came through. The evening gathering was about 1,000. But we had prayer meetings and prayer watches all throughout the day. And, I was pretty happy about that. But I was a little disappointed until a couple weeks later, Brother Reinhard Bonnke. You guys know Reinhard Bonnke? Look him up on YouTube. If you've never heard, you search him, and the first thing that you're going to see are crowds of millions. Everybody say millions. The largest altar call he ever did, he saw 3 million people born again in one meeting. You can't even imagine. That's more than all of Hawaii times 3. I mean, it's ridiculous in one massive. I mean, you want to talk about crazy evangelism, but I'll never forget him standing and telling us about his first crusade. Took a step of faith, got a 10,000 seat arena, 300 people show up. That's painful. That doesn't even fit. I mean, that doesn't fill this room, much less a 10,000 seat arena. And so you know what happened? I got real encouraged. I'm like, Leah, we had over 1,000 at our first crusade. Hallelujah. Bonnke only had 300. And I mean, I think about this, and you just don't give up. Don't give up. I wonder how many people quit just before their breakthrough. Because what begins to happen, it's in the waiting. I want you to hear this. It's in our waiting. As we wait upon the Lord, God begins to give us vision. He begins to give us vision. This is where you can see in verse 2, as Habakkuk is waiting on the Lord, he set himself on the watchtower. He was holding his ground. And then in verse 2, write the vision. I'm giving it to you, that he may run who reads it. The vision is for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. He said in the end it will speak, meaning it's going to speak for itself. When I do this thing, you're going to see it and everybody's going to know it. And then I like this verse. I want you to look at this. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2, and look at verse 3, the latter part. It says, the vision, it will not lie. It will come to pass. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Do you know what the word tarry means? It means wait. Think about what it says. Okay, let's replace the words here. Though it waits, wait for it. It will come. It will not wait. What? That does not make sense. Although you're waiting, you're not going to have to wait. That doesn't make sense. But here's what I think the Lord is saying in this. Through the vision, though the vision delays, wait for it. It will come to pass. It will not tarry. You know what that tells me? God is always right on time. I really think it's that simple. Wait. You feel like you're waiting, and you feel like the vision is delaying, but it's not waiting. It's right on time. My timing is perfect, but my timing is not your timing. And so we set ourselves, we watch, and the Lord begins to give us vision. That's the second thing. So first of all, we watch and we receive a burden. We watch and we receive a burden. The second thing, we stand and we wait for vision. We stand and we wait, and God gives us vision. Just to get super practical on this, God's going to give you a burden for the things that you're passionate about. That's how you're going to know that they're God. But then he's going to give you the strategy. How are you actually going to fulfill what I'm asking you to do? That's vision. How are you actually going to do what I'm asking you to do? How are you going to raise your children so that they can honor me in the long run? How are we going to see revival touch West Maui and these islands in our nation? How many understand? We need a burden for that, and we need a vision for that. How are we going to see our own personal house vision? I know even Dr. Morocco, he's talking about these 2020 goals. We need to have 100 churches in the U.S. That means we need about 35 more churches to be started in about 6 months. How are we going to do that? Somebody needs to get a burden for that. Somebody needs to get a vision. Doctor, we'll start X amount of churches. I mean, doctor, he's hounding me all the time. You guys, pray that God give a burden and a vision, because we have churches to build. We have a vision to fulfill. Hallelujah. Here's the last thing. Does that freak anybody out when I talk about that? Anybody get freaked out? Pastor, how are we going to start more churches? I'm glad that you're freaked out. Let me show you why. Point number three, kneel. We kneel. Look at this in verse 1, chapter 3. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. You know what he did? I like what he says. Lord, I have heard your speech. This is how he prays. So he's had this dialogue now with the Lord for 2 chapters. And here in chapter 3, he begins to pray. How many think that's a good idea? He begins to pray. He hits his knees, and this is what he said. Lord, I've heard your speech. I heard that you want to release revival. I heard that you're going to turn this all around. You're going to give me a burden. You're going to give me the vision for it. Lord, I heard your speech, verse 2, and I was afraid. That's how you know you're getting the burden of the Lord. That's how you know you're getting God's vision for your life. If it freaks you out, God, I don't know how this is possible. Lord, you see what I make. How am I gonna give that much? God, you see the way my body hurts, and you expect me to go and serve and do all of this? God, you see how many people we have? You expect me to take our leaders and go ship them off to another extension? God, how are we gonna do this? It freaks me out. And I hope that it scares you too, because this is a God-sized vision. That's what we need. We need some God-sized visions. If it's enough that your skill set can fulfill it, enough that your bank account can buy it, it's not big enough. I'm telling you, because when the Lord does it, when the vision is fulfilled, I'm telling you, I already know when that 1, 2, 3 vision is fulfilled, when our multiply vision is fulfilled, only God's going to receive the glory. Because I don't know about you, I'm not giving $10,000 a week. I'm not impacting 1,000 people a week. And we don't have 100 life groups in this church, but if we need to pray. That's what we need to do. I heard your speech, and I was afraid. But I love what he says. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. He got God's vision, and it scared him. Minister Ryland, would you come? We're going to close out the service now. We watch for a burden. We stand and we wait for vision. And then we kneel. You know what happens when we kneel? You know what happens when we kneel? I love this. Look at verse 6. It says, he stood. You just stop right there. You understand, church, when we come to our end, the end of our ability, the end of our strength. God, I don't have any more that I can do. I have no more that I can give. I have no more ideas. God, I have drained everything that I absolutely had. I'm scared of the future. I'm scared about where you're taking us. I hear your vision. It's too big for me. I'm burdened, and it moves me to weeping and anguish so often. God, I am at my end. I don't know how we're going to do anything more. You hit your knees in prayer. And it's at those moments when we kneel in humble submission before the Lord. Habakkuk gets this vision that God himself stands. We kneel and God stands. We kneel, we pray, and God begins to move. Church, I'm believing for God to do things way bigger than what we've seen. And I hear it all the time. People come in and they're like, boy, look at what God's done in Lahaina in these last couple of years. Oh, it's incredible. And I rejoice with you. I rejoice. And there's miracles all throughout this thing. But church, I believe that God wants to do so much more. He wants to do so much more. He wants to use you. He wants to use us. We're going to impact these islands. We have to come to a place where it's like, God, I know I can't do anything more. And it terrifies me. But I love what he says in verse 19, and I'll close with this. He says, the Lord is my strength. He'll make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills. Hallelujah. When we kneel, the Lord stands. This is what I want to do right now. Can we all stand just all across this room right now? I know I'm already right at time and we've got meet the pastors and some other things, but I'm curious, all across this room, how many of you, whether it's for the church, maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's something personally in your own life, how many of you say, Pastor, I've got a vision. There's things that burden my heart, maybe in or outside the church, that's fine. Maybe for your own family, maybe something personal. But how many of you say, I've got a vision, and I've got some goals, I've got some things that I want to see the Lord do. How many of you have things like that? Hopefully all of us do. Hopefully all of us do. If you don't, you just look at the things that get you stirred up and you ask the Lord to give you his burden for those things. Okay? I want to take a moment. We're going to pray. I don't have much time here, but I'm going to ask you to do something that's kind of different. I already had you break your communion before we took it. I feel like we're getting traditional here. But I'm going to ask us to take the very posture that Habakkuk did when he prayed and when he sought the Lord. If you've got things that you're believing for, maybe you don't, and you want to ask the Lord, Lord, give me your burden, give me your vision, whatever it is. And I want to ask us to kneel. I know, that's like so Catholic, isn't it? But it's Bible. I'm going to ask us to kneel. You can turn around and you can kneel right there at your seat, but I just want to take about the next minute or so. We're not going to do this for a real long time. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to give us his burden, his vision, and to do what only he can do. Because when we kneel, he stands, and that's where breakthrough comes, church. That's where victory comes, when the Lord begins to stand and he begins to move on our behalf. So can I ask you to do that? If you're physically able, I want you to hit your knees right now, and let's just begin to talk to the Lord right now. Mighty God, I just thank you for the example that Habakkuk is to each and every one. God, even today as we take this posture, Lord, it's our admission that we are passionate, we've got ideas, but we need your burden, Lord. If we're going to make an impact in the world today, if we're going to see our families saved, if we're going to see our businesses flourish and missionaries sent and the Great Commission fulfilled and the church expand and the visions fulfilled, Lord, these things scare us. But here today we say we need you. And we yield our lives, we yield ourselves, we yield our everything to you, Almighty God. I ask you, Lord, all across this room to minister in our hearts. Let us see through your eyes. Lord, give us your burden for the things that burden you. Lord, would you put it in our hearts? Baptize us with your anguish. Baptize us, Lord. What are the things that are heavy on your heart? Let them so resonate with each and every one of us, mighty God. Lord, I ask you to give us your vision. I ask you, Lord, to show us, Lord, how we can do things. Give us strategy. Give us wisdom from on high. Give us the path, Lord, where we're going to see victory and the fulfillment of what you put on our hearts. And God, I pray for that victory. God, as we kneel even today before you, Lord, I ask that you would break through on our behalf. That God, as we humble ourselves, that you would stand on our behalf. Whatever enemies might be bearing down on us, whatever attacks might be coming our way, that vision that's too big for us to carry, we ask you to stand and to demonstrate your power, your authority, your ability on our behalf, mighty God. Do what only you can do in each and every one of us, mighty God. In each and every one of us, mighty God. Now I'm just going to ask, you can remain kneeling there for a moment. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If your heart needs to be given to the Lord, we're going to pray a simple prayer. We're going to make a declaration of Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And if you need to get right with God today, I believe we pray this with faith, that God can wash away your sins, be your Savior and your Lord. I never want to end a service without doing this. So I would ask, even as you're kneeling right there, would you just repeat after me? Everybody pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me in your blood. I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord, my very best friend. I believe you died for me. You died for my sin. You rose from the dead. And I'm going to be ready when you return one day. I thank you for being my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Live your life through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, can you stand to your feet? You might need to help a neighbor around you. Does that bless anybody today? Maybe we'll install some kneelers at our... Have you ever seen kneelers? You know what those are? Hey, we got Meet the Pastors right after this. Thank you, online family. Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. Coffee, refreshments outside. Yeah, come have breakfast with the pastors. If you've never been a part of that, please, please join us. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.